Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live every day to address your questions and real-life issues by phone at 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, we invite you to call right now. 1-800-677-9377. You know, the Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and that is Basic Gospel. We invite you to stay tuned to learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We have the gospel story revealed to us right at Christmas. And that's what we celebrate as we move into this season of Christmas and celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. But I love this passage in the book of Matthew. The angel of the Lord appears to Joseph, and he gives Joseph this message. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So Joseph was conflicted. Mm-hmm. He didn't know what to do about Mary. He found out that she was pregnant. They hadn't come together as husband and wife. He had all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of concerns, and it basically got down to, what are people going to think about me? They're going to ostracize me. They're going to look down their noses at me because of this occurrence. But the angel of the Lord appears and says, don't be afraid to move forward with your plan. You had planned to marry Mary. You are betrothed to her. Follow through. And here's the reason: the baby in her womb is conceived from the Holy Spirit. And then the angel goes on to say, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So there are two names attached to Jesus right here at this angelic announcement to Joseph. The first is Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And I think that's our first and foremost felt need as far as our spiritual needs are concerned. We know we're estranged from God. We know we're separated from him. And we know the reason is because of our sinfulness. We know the reason because we're spiritually dead. We get that. We don't need preachers, pounding the pulpit trying to convince us that we're sinners. We know we're sinners. We know we have a problem. But here's the good news. God has sent Jesus, and this Jesus is going to save us from our sins. And there's three ways that Jesus does that. First, he frees us from the punishment of sin. That's what his death is all about. Jesus Christ was a savior at the cross, in the sense that he stepped into our shoes and he diverted the punishment that was being directed toward us to himself. He took our punishment for us. And so when he died, all the punishment for sin had been exhausted. There's no more punishment for our sins. That is an amazing truth right there. But that's a truth that many people struggle with and many people are confused about. They don't realize that they truly are forgiven people in Christ. That's why they have all of these rituals that they follow, these formulas that they follow when they sin. I've got to do something to get back into God's good graces. I have to do something to get that mark removed from my name. Well, if you're following any of those formulas, then you're not really trusting Jesus to be the Savior, the one who would free you from your sins, save you from your sins. So that's the first thing, that Jesus frees us from the punishment of sin, and then he releases us from the power of sin. When we were lost, we were under sin's control. That's why the only thing that really came out of us were sins. That's just the way that works. But God in Christ has broken that power once and for all, has released us from sin's control into the control of God's Spirit. We are to be led by the Spirit of God, and in being led by the Spirit of God, we're going to be led and controlled by the love of God. So Jesus saves us from our sins by releasing us from the power of sin. And then his final act will be to remove us from the presence of sin. That's going to happen in the future when these bodies are resurrected and we are whole in God's presence, free, absent from the presence of sin altogether. That's going to be a glorious day,
isn't it?
So
is
incredible
good news.
Packed message of Jesus in this angelic announcement to Joseph. This babe who is going to be born, you shall name him Jesus because he will save you from your sins. If you're struggling with sin, you're struggling with forgiveness, let's talk about it on today's broadcast.
Yes, indeed, and you can do that by calling right now, 1-800-677-9377. If you're listening in the New York City area, New York, New Jersey, Washington, D.C., in Louisville, Kentucky, Denver, Colorado, this program is for you, and we want you to be a part of it. 1-800-677-9377. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, my name is Bob Davis. We're here live, and we await your phone call, so call quickly. If you have something you'd like to discuss, a Bible question, perhaps some issue in life, this is your opportunity. Give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Guys, we talked about this particular question on the late broadcast yesterday. This is from our dear friend Ed, who has recently moved to Simpsonville, South Carolina. He said he and his wife Candace had been discussing the mark of the beast, apparently, this past week. When we're faced, he says, to have the Obama chip implanted, knowing we as believers in Christ already have a mark, do we accept it in order to buy food and so forth, or reject it, knowing the consequences that will follow?
Well, it's a very interesting question. I wish he had posed it during October when we were talking about Revelation. But yeah. it really ties back to this forgiveness issue and the yes. security that we have in Christ Jesus. We've been marked out by him, and so he is going to protect us from all of those sort of things. And, you know, we've always worried about the mark of the beast. What is it? And that's been a source of speculation and conjecture and discussions among Christians for many, many years. And anything new technologically that comes out, we're wondering, could that be the mark? And how do we deal with those sort of things, Richard?
Well, two things. First of all, you have to recognize the world we live in. I mean, right now, if anyone has a credit card, if they make a mistake on that credit card can be turned off so that it is absolutely refused. You can't use it. So the power to make it impossible for individuals, whether they're Christians or not, not to be able to buy or sell is already existing in our world. That doesn't make it the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast has to do with a spiritual truth, a spiritual reality where I have rejected Jesus Christ and I have thrown my lot in with Satan and his minions in the world system. If I do that, then I receive a mark. And it's interesting, the mark is always talked about as something in the forehead and in the hand. So it's not only what we're thinking, it's what we're doing. Well, if you accept Jesus, you receive that spiritual mark, the Holy Spirit, who is the down payment, the guarantee that we are saved. And that's always talked about spiritually. There's no talk about a mark in your hand. So Jesus saves us spiritually and protects us spiritually, and regardless of what's going to happen to us or not happen to us in any temporal sense, we can rejoice because no one can receive the mark of the beast who has been marked by Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
That's good news.
That is good news. And it gets right back to basic gospel,
yes.
doesn't it? That's where we're confused. I mean, there's a world system, and there's all kinds of messages out there, and they sound good, and we can be pulled and tugged, you know, by any of those sort of things. But the reason we can be tossed to and fro is because we're confused about the basic gospel
yes.
message. That's why it's so important for us to really fully understand what the good news is. What does Jesus' death on the cross mean to us today? Uh-huh. What does Jesus' burial mean to us? We just glaze over that. We don't even give that much yeah. consideration at all. But it's significant. Why? Because it shows an end to the old way of life and a brand new beginning of a new way of life. And then there's this resurrection, and that's where this new life is. So we need to be very clear on what this gospel message is and how it applies to us. on a day-to-day basis. That's why we've provided this little resource that we're offering this month called Forgiveness, the Door to Life. I think it's one of the most basic elements of the gospel message, and it's our felt need. We know we need forgiveness, but boy, talk about confusion. Yeah. There's a lot of confusion around this forgiveness issue, isn't there, Richard?
Oh, yeah. Most of it comes under the heading of, well, maybe. You know, God might like you well enough to forgive you if you do all of these things, and the lists vary from place to place. There's no assurance in that. Jesus forgave us once for all, period. And when we accept him, we get that forgiveness.
Yeah. Well, it's time to get back to that message.
Yes.
And embrace it and live as forgiven people. And that's why we've produced this resource, Forgiveness, the Door to Life, and it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, and we hope you take advantage of this.
Yes, indeed. The prominent link right on the home site, homepage at our home site, at our website is what I'm trying to say, basicgospel.net. Or you can call during Central Time office hours and speak with our operator to make your request for your copy of Forgiveness and make your gift. 1-800-727-2828. That's the number. That's our order line number and our operator number, 1-800-727-2828. Either way, a good way to request your copy and make your gift to Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Maryland and talk to Bob, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Bob.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Nice to hear from you, my friend.
It's good to be heard from. You know, I just wanted to comment. Years before God saved me, I remember somebody telling me I was spiritually dead. It's one of the first things he told me, and right before he started running the church. And, you know, at the time, I thought I was very spiritual, and I thought, what are you talking about, you know? And I was all, you know, and I'm just, all I wanted to say was, I don't, maybe that's not the best way to approach certain people. I look back now, and since then, this is a person who actually was a person who was like not really a Christian. And he told me that he was saying stuff like that. And I thought back then that I was just being hit in the head with a brick or something like that, you know. And I don't know. All I'm saying is I'm not being critical or nasty or anything like that. I'm just thinking maybe that's not always the best way of approaching people.
Well, Bob, I agree with that. I mean, Scripture is pretty clear. Like in Ephesians 2:1, for example, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world." So there's the truth of what the Word of God has to say. I don't think people really understand what spiritual death is. So I think there are ways that we can communicate that. Like for me, that manifested itself in the sense of emptiness, that there was nothing in life that had real meaning or purpose to it. I just felt like I was floating. I wasn't connected to anything. And that's what spiritual death is the fact that I'm not connected to God, the source of life. That's my problem. I'm not connected to him. I haven't received him as my very life. So I agree. There are ways to communicate that I think will connect with people. And I think, you know, when folks, you know, start talking and they are expressing, you know, concern that there's issues, that there are problems that they're dealing with, I think we can probe by asking some very pointed questions. So what are you sensing? What are you feeling? Do you feel like there's a big hole in your heart? Do you feel like, you know, something's wrong, something's missing in life, that nothing really satisfies you? And I think with those probing questions, you can bring them to that point and say, well, here's what the Word of God has to say. It calls all of those things spiritual death. And all that simply means is that you're not connected to the source of spiritual life, and that's in Jesus Christ. And
yeah, I agree with that 100%. Yeah. You know, yeah. But at the time, the person that said that, as it turned out, he he was, you know, apparently he was spiritually dead. And it's looking back, you know. So
yeah.
I just, when I heard that, I just, my mind flashed back.
Flashed back, you.
Yeah.
I
thought,
I can, well,
it maybe had an effect in a way, but I'm thinking that had he said, you know, to me that, you know, well, maybe you want to, you know, just kind of been a little more gentle. But then he's, you know, now he was running the church and this, that, and the other thing, and now I don't know what he's up to. So that made me think of a lot of stuff. But I understand. No, I believe what you're saying is exactly 100% true. I have no problems with that at all. But I just... I went on a time machine there about 30 years ago.
Well, I think what you're saying points out one of the most important aspects of bringing Jesus to someone in an informational way. You have to be in relationship with them. You have to know them to know what it is, how they ask questions, and how they're relating to the world and all that. You just can't come walking up to somebody and hit them with a hammer.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was, really. Especially where from where he was. So suddenly he was, acting like there was no Jesus Christ, that he was Jesus Christ, and I was like, bang, boom, you know.
Well, Bob, thanks for your call today.
Thank you so much.
That was a
God
great question.
Love
the conversation and the interaction, so thank you so much. Let me put you on hold. We'll send you a copy of this booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. You hang on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, let's quickly go to Long Island, New York, and talk to Christina. Hi, Christina.
Hi, gentlemen.
Welcome. Nice to hear from you today.
Thank you for taking my call. I love listening to both of you on my way home from work every day. And I feel blessed that we have you, as just a Christian community, you guys are fantastic.
Well, thank you so much.
I just wanted to make a comment about a caller who called yesterday. It was the gentleman who had called at the end of the show who had Asperger's syndrome, and he was very conflicted about fellowshipping in a church because he had felt that he was, due to some Christians in churches who are highly judgmental, he was feeling as if it was interfering with his relationship with God. And, I really wanted to let him know that I don't have Asperger syndrome, but I completely understand where he was coming from with that. And I don't go to a church because of that very reason. For me, I was a Christian in name only. I was brought up in a certain denomination of church that I never, ever felt any relationship with God or Jesus Christ through. I did not even know that that was the goal. And it wasn't until I, kind of grew up in the world and had to suffer some, dark times that I... God, and I was searching him out on my own, I was led to a lot of different teachers that none of them were in a church. A lot of them were, on television, through books, radio shows like yours. And, I can honestly say now that I have a relationship with Christ now, with Jesus and with, God that's so deep. And it's so comforting. I don't subscribe to any church. And it's not to say that I haven't tried to, but I have to say that man in its nature, I think just gets it wrong a lot of the times, even Christians. And,
well, Christina, that's exactly what I was saying at the beginning of the broadcast. We're really confused about the most basic elements of the gospel, and the first of that is forgiveness. We don't understand that we've been totally forgiven by God. So if we believe God is requiring of us certain things before we can receive forgiveness, then that's how we're going to treat others. We're going to require those same things from others. I'm not going to forgive you until you, come to me and show that you're broken and hurt and sorrowful and all of those sort of things. And unless you do that, I'm going to keep an arm's distance away from you. Well, why do we treat each other that way? Because we think God treats us exactly that way. So it's important for us to really understand this basic gospel and then be able to relate to one another as our foundation, the genuine, true love of Jesus Christ that reaches out to us in acceptance, reaches out to us with kindness, with gentleness, with patience, and does things for our best, for our benefit. And when we get connected to the love of God, then we can have some really wonderful relationships with other members of the body of Christ. Well, Christina, thanks for your great call today. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a copy of this booklet as well, Forgiveness, the Door to Life. You hang on, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking more about that in just a few moments as we close the broadcast.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Angie listening to us in New York. Hi, Angie.
Yes, Bob. Brother Bob. Yes, it's all good and known. But God is just. I cannot live the way I wanted to. It has to be according to His will. If I confess, because I have to confess, but I can come to such a point that I don't even know that I'm doing something wrong. I have to confess. And then I get like a non-believer. I have this problem in my family. I cannot connect because they've been without the word and discernment of the word. Discerning is very important, but discerning is not in the church. And they don't even believe that they need to discern. Just like that. Well, it's not like that. We have to be God's will. It is very important because He's not going to answer my prayer.
Well, Angie, God's will for us is to trust Jesus. That's God's will for us.
But I cannot do whatever I want. Once I'm born again, the whole thing is changing. But then, bit by bit, like anything else, like the sin is very little, it starts like a spot.
Yeah.
And becomes huge, and one day,
well, Angie,
you're not anything anymore.
Yeah. Well, Angie, that's the whole point of this gospel message. It's not just forgiveness; it's life, and that's why the angel announced to Joseph exactly what he did. He said, "You're gonna have a son. You're gonna name him Jesus because he's gonna save us from our sins. That means he's gonna free us from the punishment of sin. He's going to release us from the power of sin. And eventually, through the resurrection of our bodies, he's going to remove us from the presence of sin. But also, he says that you will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive all the forgiveness he provided for us at the cross, but we also receive him, God with us, Christ in us, our hope of glory. And with Christ living in us, we can expect for him to do in us what he desires, to transform us from the inside out. If we'll just trust this gospel message and trust ourselves to the resurrected Christ, we will experience abundant life. Well, Angie, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. We really, really do. And Richard, that's why it's so important, I think, for people to get a hold of this little booklet.
Yes.
It's very easy to read. It's short. It has several stories that I think people can relate to. And it's also filled with scripture references to show just time after time after time exactly what Christ accomplished for us through his death on the cross. This is the most basic element of the gospel, and it's where most of our confusion starts.
Uh-huh.
Right there. We are not sure that Christ has taken away our sins totally, completely, not just some of them, but all of them, past, present, and future. If we will get this right, if we will understand the forgiveness that we have in Jesus, we will see an explosion of growth in us. An explosion of growth in God's grace and God's love and in our knowledge of Him.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us. And just piggybacking on what Bob was saying, we have this great little booklet that we produced just for you. It's called Forgiveness, the Door to Life, and it is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy, call 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828 and ask for the Forgiveness booklet. Or visit us online at basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right there on the homepage. That's Forgiveness, the Door to Life, yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. The other resources we talk about on this broadcast are available through our website at store.basicgospel.net. Again, that is store.basicgospel.net. Please be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We're here every day for no other reason than to serve you, our listeners, and the love of Jesus Christ, and your phone calls are the reason we're here. Richard, Bob, and I invite you to be back again tomorrow at the same time. See you then. Bye-bye.